blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. Welcome to an incredibly frustrated, I suspect, Frost Arms tonight. Certainly I am. That's Tim. I'm sure Killer is. Good evening.
I am Tim. Good evening.
And I'm sure Norm is. Good evening, Norm.
I am Tim. Good evening.
What? you're not me, Norm.
Oh, that's true. I am Norm. I am frustrated, Tim. Thank you.
We're all frustrated.
Oh, dear. And we're all Tim. So what do you think of the match?
I don't know what's worse out of those things. Oh, my goodness, Norm. I mean, what really, really, really frustrated is the right word, because the same thing's happened again, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I'm not just frustrated. I'm quite annoyed, and I also think that there's a little bit of a habit creeping in here, which is slightly concerning. I mean, I actually thought that certainly particularly in the first half, some of the football we played was very, very good. I thought we were by far the better team. I know they had a couple of players missing, but so did we. I thought we dominated. I thought we looked pretty comfortable. The goal we scored was okay. It was an own goal, but you know, I actually didn't realise watching it live at the game. But when I watched the reruns on the TV, I mean, we must have had the ball for about 3 minutes and just passing it around and eventually scoring it, you know, a fantastic goal. And I think on other days we would have scored more. I mean, had Pereira's chance fallen to Tom Cannon, we might well have been 2-0 up. I thought there was just, you know, Chowdhury's shot was superb. I mean, I didn't think the boy had it in him, but their keeper made a couple of really, really good saves. And I think whilst it's frustrating, I think, you know, on another day we could easily have gone in, and it wouldn't have been unreasonable to have gone in against the joint second place team when they were third, at least two or three goals up. You know, I do think that like I say in stages we were very good. I think the second half was just a little bit different. I mean, what I find frustrating, again, we still created chances. I mean, Hermansson made a good save, but their keepers made a couple of great saves as well. But just feel that we leave everything just a little bit too late, and then start to almost, I'm not saying we panic, but we start just to decide that one goal's enough. And instead of carrying on the way that we were in the first half, which is taking risks and trying to create chances and trying to play three balls, we just end up tippy-tapping it around, and just, you know, the final pass is just lacking. When, you know, there were a number of occasions where better balls could have seen us get through again. And the Ipswich made some changes, obviously, a lot earlier on in the half, and we haven't done that. And it seems to be this is where I'm saying there's a bit of a pattern. It seems to me that we're not making changes when perhaps we need to, you know, perhaps we needed to adapt a little bit to the changes that Ipswich had made. They'd brought fresh legs on. I know it's easy to say after the event, but maybe we needed to react a little bit to that. And when eventually the changes are made, it doesn't seem to have a positive effect. It felt like we were just starting to hang on a little bit. And I felt with like 20 minutes to go, I honestly thought that we're not going to hold on to this. It just felt, I don't know, there was this horrible inevitability that something was going to happen with the way we were playing. I mean, Hermansson getting caught and, you know, nearly taking it out for a corner and then having to boot it out. It all just felt it started to get a little bit scrappy and Ipswich started pressing a little bit more. And we started to, you know, we just started to struggle and almost lose that little bit of confidence. And at the end, I absolutely felt that we were hanging on. As soon as Ipswich score, you know, we have 2 or 3 minutes where suddenly we're pressing a little bit more again. And I think that we're missing out and we're losing, or not losing games necessarily, but we're losing points now by not trying to kill the game off. We all know that one goal, however well you're playing and whoever you're playing against, a goal only takes a second, to like quote good old Jimmy Greaves, and it can happen. It can come from the unlikeliest of sources. And that's exactly what happened here. A shot from the edge of the area. The ball did swerve a lot, but you know, Hermansson's a good keeper. He will be disappointed that went straight out rather than to the side. And sure enough, Ipswich have got what I would consider an undeserved point. I mean, I thought they made it a decent game, but in general, I believe we controlled the match, you know, certainly until the last sort of 25, 30 minutes. And that's when we start to like slow down a little bit and stop going for it. When if we score a second, it's game over. And that's what I find frustrating. And that's the worrying habit that we're getting into. And before I'm also desperate to hear what you guys think, but just a little fact. Apparently, that's the 9th goal in the last 14 games that we've conceded after the 83rd minute. I mean, you might remember at the beginning of the season, it felt like we were scoring loads of late goals to win games. It now seems like we're conceding quite a few late goals, which are, you know, having a little bit of a negative effect on the result. So yeah, just feel there's an improvement that we could make just by going for it a little bit more when we are leading.
Yeah, it's an interesting interpretation that Norm's put on it there, Killer. Because, I mean, I agree with most of what Norm said. But I think, you know, in terms of the going for it bit, I just think that for the incredible amounts of possession that we have, it's just not mirrored in chance creation, is it?
No. I know you and I have kind of had like a bit of a discussion about this. Look, we've got this game plan. It seemed to be working much better at the beginning of the season than it's working now. And the reason I think why that is the case is I think because Leicester City don't have a plan B, we're actually pretty easy to play against strategically. And I think this is one of the issues that we had last night. There is no plan B. What we know about our plan A is we will keep the ball and probably not create many chances for the first 25 minutes because it's all about possession, isn't it? It's all about possession. It's all about just eroding down your opponent. And then at some point, you can be pretty confident that we're going to score. And that's generally all through the season what we've been doing. And we did that last night. However, and this is the big however, because there's no plan B, Ipswich go in at half-time with a canny manager. He straight away looks at it, looks at how we're set up and goes, tell you what, guys, why don't we go full press here? Because if we go full press, they haven't got enough in their midfield to be able to play out to. So if you can suffocate that midfield and get in amongst them, we can start taking the game to them. Guess what? It worked. And as Norm said, we had no answer to it. The only thing I would say in terms of what Norm said, I thought he gave an excellent summary of the game. The only thing I would disagree was I do actually think Ipswich did deserve a point. I think if I was an Ipswich fan, I think I would have been gutted if we hadn't got a point. I did think they deserved the point simply because I thought that goal was coming. And you know, this late goal, and again, Norm's spot on about it, it's a worry. It's a worry because, and I said this a couple of shows ago, you might recall, this Leicester City team, when you get at them, will buckle. It hasn't got this backbone. Well, I think one of the problems again is with Enzo, no plan B. He doesn't have. Let's just clog the midfield. To me, last night, all he had to do after 10 minutes of that second half was to just go different formation. I'd have bought one of the wingers off. I'd have put a midfielder in, maybe Dennis Pratt or an Albrighton, and I would have said, just get the ball, hold it in midfield, and when we're playing out from the back, we will just have an extra man in midfield to be able to come and receive the ball. He didn't do it. There is no plan B. It's Rick Tim. I'm finding it incredibly frustrating that Enzo, it's like he spent all this time with Pep, and just on his last day, when he sneaked into Pep's office and he's got Pep's strategic book, he's literally photocopied the first page and Pep's walked in. And he's gone, oh, yeah, you're right, Pep. He's gone, yeah, what are you doing? He's gone, oh, nothing. And he's literally just folded that page and stuck it in his back pocket and left. The rest of the book's missing.
It's interesting that, actually, Killer, because I don't watch a huge amount of Man City, but we're talking about like the lateness of subs or even lack of them. You know, and it was the same at Coventry. You know, he made one change and he made a couple of changes, you know, after they'd equalised, you know, really late in the game when players are tired. But I think that's something that Pep does quite a lot. He quite often doesn't make substitutes, does he? So again, I wonder whether that's like and maybe that was on the first page of Pep's plan, as you've
mentioned. What's on page two is to play five across your midfield, and if you're better than your opponent, you literally just keep the ball. That is a very simple fact of football, by the way. That's how Manchester City won the treble last year. You get 11 great quality footballers, and you simply keep the ball. And they generally do it, so if I'm wrong, they generally do it by clogging up the midfield with people like De Bruyne and Rodri and Silva and all these guys that can keep a football all day long. Why don't we do more of that? Why is he preoccupied all the while with two wide players? I know two wide players have reaped their benefits. It isn't the only way, though.
He wouldn't have needed. I mean, I don't watch tons of Man City, but we've all seen enough of them. They don't really have a plan B, do they? And you know, his playbook and his learning has all come from Guardiola, hasn't it? In terms of his being a manager, and they never need a plan B. And I suppose in this division, he's probably looked at our squad, £100 million worth of players on the bench for the first game of the season against Coventry, and going, and he's gone, right, for this 12 months at least until we get in the Premier League, I'm not going to need a plan B either, Norm.
No, I accept that. And a lot of the times we don't, because, I mean, let's just, you know, on a more positive note, we're still 7 points clear of Ipswich, 8 clear of Southampton, having a record-breaking season. So, in general, it is working. It's just that, as Killer alludes to, it's, you know, there are games where, you know, the better teams, and this is where it's interesting. I don't think we've lost a point when we've played a team at the bottom half of the table. All our points, we get the teams that come at us, and the better quality teams, they're the ones that are causing us issues. So, you know, and we actually alluded to two or three weeks ago that to suggest that we maybe had got a plan B, because we were, you know, Hermansson was playing a couple of long balls that was just keeping the opposition kind of like honest, I suppose. But you know, again, playing the two wingers. I mean, what was noticeable to me, I picked up on yesterday was that, Tom Cannon didn't really have a sniff for all the good intricate play, and like you're saying about when we're talking about creating chances. You know, he almost felt like a bit of a passenger. And actually, again, with talking about substitutions, I would actually have liked in that game to have brought Vardy on earlier to utilise his pace and have that out ball to, you know, when we are struggling a little bit, we have got that option to just kick it long or try and pass it to winner and play it through, just to give us something else. So again, it all comes back to not having the plan B, not making substitutions, and ultimately just feeling like we are able to hang on to these leads. I mean, it happened at Sheffield Wednesday. It happened at West Brom, although we were lucky enough to score a great winner then. It happened at Ipswich away. It's happened at Coventry. It's happened against Ipswich at home. It is a definite pattern that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, no, point well made. Killer, Hermansson error. You agreeing for the goal?
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, look, he's been great. What I have noticed, by the way, at this level, is the goalkeeping just isn't as good. Have you guys noticed? I noticed last night with Ipswich, You know, there was times I thought that their goalkeeper, you know, for a start on, you know, trying to bring the ball out, God Almighty, and he was causing all manner of problems in the first half. There was the second half, first half when the ball came across goal and he's completely gone through his hands. Did you see that? He sort of dived and it's gone through his hands. And yeah, it was the standard's not so good. Goalkeepers make mistakes. He's made one. It wasn't so much the mistake that worried me. It was some of the other stuff. Did you notice on a couple of the corners he was coming out, he was flapping?
He generally did. I mean, I think I was shocked that he conceded the goal, actually. But it's because he's been so good, isn't it? And I was trying to think back. So I think it was the first, second game of the season, he made a bit of a hash of swing when he was trying to dribble the ball out. But I can't actually think of a major mistake he's made all season. He's been that good. Nothing springs to mind. He's been brilliant, but yeah, it's just unfortunate that it cost. I am with Norm. I thought we deserved to win it, and I thought we deserved to win the first game with them as well. I take the point, Killer. They came on in the second half, but I thought by then we'd done enough. I thought Mavididi, great to see him get Player of the Month, by the way. I thought he had another game, particularly in the first half, another good game, and we're just not really creating the chances, though, to give Cannon or Vardy a chance, which begs the question I wanted to ask you two tonight. We sort of focus a bit on the negatives when we do lose. Is this Killer a because of or despite Enzo that we're where we are?
That's a really good question. There's no doubt when you look at the Championship, and I've watched a stack of Championship games this year, that there's loads of endeavour, there's loads of puffing and panting, and, you know, there's a reasonable amount of skill, but it's not mega, is it? And it's a big. Well, it's a chasm between the Premier League, because you haven't got those X factor players at all. I mean, virtually no team, apart from a couple of Leicester lads, have got any X factor players at all. So you're down to this interesting thing about is it Enzo? Well, let's be clear what Enzo has done, and the players have come out and said this. He's consolidated what was clearly an unhappy dressing room. There's no doubt about that. So I don't think there'd be a Leicester fan would question that. He seems to be a good guy. Apparently, he's a big personality. He's a bit of a joker. The players generally like him, and they like the style of play. So we're going to give him ticks for that. I just think, strategically, I think he's proving himself to be very limited. He's doing a few odd things. Something else we shouldn't forget last night is, once again, KDH comes off, we concede. Now, I know he's come back from injury, but he looked as fit as a butcher's dog for me. And I think his face showed the picture of, I'm not ready to come off. Now, I know sports science says that's when he could end up getting injured again or whatever, because he might be fatiguing a little bit. But it's a powerhouse of a player to bring off, and we concede. Go back to your question. I don't know. We have already said, haven't we? But there is more than a good chance that this time next year he's not at the club. So I'm going to throw that one back out. Any change on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's more likely rather than less likely, but I think there's a high probability that he isn't. I mean, Norm, to ask you the question in a slightly more direct way, perhaps. So if we took a bog standard Championship manager, I know it's impossible because they're all different, but a middle of the road Championship manager, would this Leicester City side still be in the top two?
Yeah, there's the simple answer. I think the difference here is, of course, that Enzo has been responsible for bringing some of these players in. So if we can allow, you know, if we can judge a manager solely on what's happened on the pitch, let's assume that any manager is given this group of players. I do believe that we would be, or certainly at the very least, you know, if you look at how the points difference between the top four and then, like, I think West Brom in fifth or so, it's huge. So we would be there or thereabouts. And I think there's an argument to say with the team we've got, we'd be doing just as well. I think Enzo's done a really good job. I don't want to criticise him, for goodness sake. I mean, it's ridiculous to go down that route. But I do think there's a bit. I think he's on a steep learning curve, and I still get frustrated by the way we play, and then yet we carve out a goal like we did yesterday, which we've passed the ball around. I mean, it's when you watch it and appreciate what you're seeing, it can be great, but all too often it doesn't come to anything. You know, there was a time where, you know, we've got the ball forward, we've broken quickly, and then it's like, well, let's put the foot on the ball, wait for them to get back, and then pass it back to Vestergaard, who's like our quarterback, and then let's start again. When actually, let's have an occasion, just go for it. I think, I'm not sure it's just solely Enzo, though. I mean, obviously he's instilled this into the players, hasn't he? And I wonder whether the players actually just need to develop a little bit and maybe occasionally have their own mind and think, well, I know what we're trying to do, but actually I can see now that there's an opportunity to be a bit more direct, you know, to do things a little bit more quickly. And I think they just need to have the confidence sometimes to do what they think's right. You know, following Enzo, you know, the generic framework of what he's asking them to do, but sometimes taking responsibility and doing something a bit different.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, Killer, at the end of the game, there was a very heated, well, I say heated discussion. It was a one-way rant, really, from Winks to JJ at the end of the game. I mean, yeah. he was giving him a really hard. I was delighted to see it, actually. I thought it was great to see that. But there were some serious strong words. I don't know quite what whether he was implying he was at fault for the goal. I don't think he was. So it must have been a more general point, I suppose.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, there's one thing for certain. You've got to love Harry Winks, haven't you? There was a question mark as to... He's dropped down a level. I think there was a question mark as to whether or not, you know, what on earth was he going to... What was he doing going down onto the Championship? It felt like he got something to offer a Premier League club. So that was all good for us. But then there was the worry that if he came down, actually, was he going to be a passenger? Was he just going to be picking up a wage? Turns out he's just about as passionate a footballer as you can wish to see. It's not the first time I've seen him ranting and raving against Coventry, by the way. Apparently, as they're going down the tunnel, he's having a right pop at a few Leicester players. So takes defeat or late goals that stop victory very, very personally. You've got to love it. Whether JJ is necessarily the right guy, he seems to be a bit of a sort of a guy you'd want your daughter to bring home sort of fella. Maybe he might take it a bit personally, but you know, maybe everybody deserves to have their day in court, so to speak.
Yeah, so I bumped into a stranger this week, just chatting a queue, and you know, start with football. Oh, who do you support, mate? Oh, I'm a Spurs fan. And I said, oh, we've got Harry Winks at our place. He interrupts me and goes, yeah, he's rubbish. And I thought, oh no, so I end up standing next to the idiot. And I just said, that's funny you say that. I'll be absolutely shocked if he's not Championship Player of the Year. You should have seen his face. Because he's never really had the chance at Spurs, did he? He had chances on and off. But I think he said himself, hasn't he? He's really found his feet at Leicester. And yes, he's playing in the Championship. But you just—it's amazing because he's obviously got a lot of passion for Spurs still, as you know, that's where he grew up. To hear a Spurs fan saying that, I just thought, you idiot! You obviously don't know too much about him.
Yeah, you get the feeling with Spurs that because obviously they haven't won anything since for about 15, 16 years, that kind of anybody that's played for the club in that time, apart from maybe Sonny and Kane, are going to get that same response anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, that's probably true. Actually, yeah. Let's move things on a bit. Transfer window. So I think I can speak on behalf of both of you guys by saying this Cassaday one caught us all on the hop, didn't it? So literally out of nowhere, Cesare Cassaday gets recalled at 5 minutes notice, by the sounds of it, by Chelsea in order, Norm, to, inverted commas, put him into their 25-man Premier League squad. So I think the three of us were absolutely delighted. I have to be honest, a bit of research with other Leicester fans, not everyone's quite as delighted as we are, but what on earth do you think is going on there, Norm?
Well, I've got absolutely no idea because, yeah, you're right, looking at the forums and stuff, not everyone, you know, some people think that, you know, they can see something in him, and he did all right for Leicester. I mean, let's be clear. The facts state that he didn't really do okay for us. He scored a couple of goals and, you know, had moments where he showed something. But fundamentally, Tim, what it goes to show is that me, and probably all of us, but I'll just speak about me. I love Leicester City, and there are times in my life supporting that club where I know more than the manager does. And I know that that player is not good enough. Or in this instance, it's Cassaday, but there have been other examples.
Harry Kane.
That is a wonderful point. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, now, but for some reason, you know, Enzo can see something in him. So he carries on playing and he's come out and said, oh, he does this and does that. So I disagree with Enzo on that score, but he is the manager and I'm just part of a very, very successful podcast.
Which one?
Very good. And then the curveball's thrown that apparently, you know, I like Mauricio Pochettino as a coach and a manager. I think he's quite good. And it turns out he quite likes what he's seen of him at Leicester as well. And it's like, it's making me question my ability as a pundit. I mean, it's like, I just do not get what he's done to warrant going back to Chelsea and potentially being, you know, the talker is he is going to be put in the Premier League squad. Now, I mean, maybe they're a bit short on midfielders. I don't really think so. But the only thing that will like put my mind at rest is when at the end of the window, we find that actually he's gone out on loan to a Division One club. And he's starting every game rather than actually playing for Chelsea. But it was bizarre. I'm delighted because I think that sealed us the championship. But yeah, very, very, very strange.
Well, what about you, Killer? I mean, the sort of suggestion is it could be some sort of face-saving exercise. I mean, it's going to be easier for him going to taking a step down in level, clearly, going to Chelsea. But, you know, the only explanation could be that, well, or there is a suggestion that it's a sort of a face-saving exercise. It's not worked out. Chelsea don't want to lose the value on him, so Chelsea recall him rather than Leicester drop him. But it just didn't look like Enzo was going to drop him. And I agree with Norm. I'm just really delighted that Enzo's hand's been forced.
I remember once a manager saying that when you deal with top teams and you ask to loan in players, that there is an unwritten rule as far as they're concerned, that if you want continued business with them on loanees, that when you get a loanee in, that you play him. You play him all the while. And if you don't, then apparently they've been known to say, you're not getting any more ever again. Don't waste our time. We're loaning players out to get game time. Now, with Cassidy, of course, he'd fallen out of favour, but then it appeared he fell in favour a little bit. But I just wonder whether or not, because it was so early that he went back, really, I just wonder whether or not Chelsea had already made their mind up that actually Leicester had reneged on a gentleman's agreement that he was going to pretty much start every game. And like you say, Tim, face-saving, bring him back. You cannot think for one second he is realistically, come the end of January, going to be in their 25-man squad. You cannot, can you? He must. I'd be surprised if he doesn't go out on loan. I suspect he will probably go on loan abroad as well. It's unthinkable, given what we've seen. And look, and the thing is, you know, and Norm's right, Pochettino does know. I think there is a bit of face-saving here. If he ends up starting a game for Chelsea between now and the end of the season in the league, then we should make that our last show.
Well, we will know we won't be in a relegation fight next year if that's the case.
I mean, what I would say is, I mean, we're talking about he has made 22. I mean, albeit a lot of substitute appearances, he has made 22 appearances for us.
I was going to say when you said that, Killer, because
he's not been the guy on the sheet though, is he? He's not been a Winks or he's not been a KDH. And I think when Chelsea loaned him out, I thought it was. I might be wrong. It's just a theory. A theory is, but the turnaround, it's an under-21 Italian international playing in the Premiership, playing for one of the biggest teams in Europe, and you can have one of our rising stars, brackets, we want you to play him. And you don't. You don't play him all the while. And let's be honest, we weren't playing him all the while. And
he's played a lot, Killer. He's played... He's no, started, but he wasn't, he wasn't, he wasn't, most games.
How many... How many games do you think he's? I mean, obviously, a lot of the Leicester ones have been substitute appearances. And forgive me, I wish I could claim that this was all just coming off the top of my head. But I'm just looking at him. He's only in his senior career.
Yeah.
He's only ever played for Reading and Leicester. He's made 15 appearances for Reading with one goal on loan, and he's made 22 appearances for us with two goals. He's never played for Chelsea. And when he was at Inter Milan, he was in their youth team. And that's it. And then he's had all these in Italy under 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, he's played in all the age groups for Italy and done okay. Well, actually, he had won the Italy under 20s when he scored 8 goals in 9 games in that tournament. Now, so he's not, you know, he's obviously, he's just starting out in his career, isn't he? So he's, I just don't get what anyone sees him. To go from Reading to Leicester to Chelsea, it's crazy. We've not sent him,
but let's deal with the facts. We've not sent him back.
No, we haven't. No,
we haven't sent him back. So
unless there was a conversation behind the scenes, right, to say, look, he ain't going to be playing for us anymore. We're sending him back, but you can call him back. But I don't think it's that, because I think Enzo really liked him.
No, I agree. I think Chelsea wanted him for whatever reason. Chelsea wanted him back, and you know, maybe they are planning on selling Gallagher or something in this window, and they just want a bit.
Or selling him, Norm? Selling him, maybe. Do you think they could sell him, saying he's played 22 out of 28 games for Leicester? They know he's not going to make it. Let's move him on, see if someone would be silly enough to pay 10 million for him, to help with FFP.
I don't see why they would like recall him just to say that. They would leave him here, and then, you know, we've got to bid him for him, so we're going to let him go. Because, I mean, if you were going to sell him, then you'd have thought we'd have like the first option, for instance. You know, it's like, we are going to sell him. Do you want to buy him? No, thanks.
But,
you know, so, yeah, just a very strange one. But you do get those. You do get it sometimes, don't you?
Interesting stat. If he plays every game out the 22, he effectively plays nearly 2,000 minutes of football. How many minutes do you think he actually played?
1,000.
It's less than that. It's 874. He's effectively played. He's not even played 10 full games whilst he's been at the club. That just adds to my argument. That I think Chelsea would look at that. And by the way, lots of these top coaches don't deal with games. They deal with minutes. It's minutes on the pitch. They might look at that and go, whoa, hold on a minute. So he's been here from the start of the season. We sent him there to get game time, and he's not even played 10 games.
No, but hold on a minute. Yeah, then indeed he's got injured, and he's clearly, he was the clear replacement in Enzo. I'm not in our minds.
By the way, the interesting thing about Ndidi, the 3 months, it turns out he's back in training. He's back, he's back available.
You said that a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
That's what they banded around.
He's somebody else
who clearly didn't fancy the AFCON, did he?
That is shameless to say. Three months to 3 weeks.
The quickest recovery. He had an operation, allegedly. Someone's gone on to his his hamstring or his anyway. The surgeon's basically not gone in with a knife. They've drawn a red line in biro down, pretending that there's like some little bits where there might have been some stitches, just to pretend. And then they've rubbed it off now, and he's ready to go.
In terms of who might replace Cassaday then, and this could be another reason for moving him out in terms of freeing up some wages, which I'll come on to. But Kelly, you mentioned unwritten rules. There's an unwritten rule with fans of not slagging off a new signing before it's happened. But I'm going to do that because I listened to an Italian journalist talking about Stefano Sensi, who's this Inter Milan midfielder. And it just sounds... I mean, look, who knows? Maybe he'll turn out to be a Cambiasso type signing, but 28 years old, so he's not a youngster, which surprised me a bit to start with. Inter signed him for 25 million euros. They're letting him go for 2 million. They've already told him he's got no contract at the end of this season, that he's on his way. He can leave for free. He's extremely injury prone, apparently. And I mean, I understand that we needed an upgrade on Cassaday, but and that money's tight. And I think the most alarming thing for me, Killer, on top of all of that lot, and by the way, his goal and assist record is non-existent, and so is his appearances record. In fact, I did make a note of that. He's played 3 matches in Serie A, I think, this year, and something like 9 last year. So he's not even been playing for Inter. The worst thing, though, for me, Killer, worse than all of that, is that apparently, and this was before the Cassidy moving on, we needed to move someone out to free up €2 million. That was alarm bells left, right and centre for me.
Yeah, which is why when the Cassidy thing happened, it was almost like I wondered if the club were behind it. I'm with you with the Sensi thing, mate. I've also had a quick look at his stats and his reports, and it don't make pretty reading. And I'm with you, Tim. I don't think we're necessarily getting on the players back before we sign them. We're just saying, just based on the stats, there is nothing there to suggest that he's going to fit in. What we know about Cassidy, what we know about the Championship is it's very aggressive. And what I loved about the game last night, not so much in the second half, but first off, did you notice how competitive it was? Guys absolutely get flying in. He ain't going to fancy that, is he? I mean, did you see that the tackle that went in on the James Justin? You know, and it's absolutely, these guys don't mess around. What they lack in skill, they more than make up with endeavour and aggression. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Just get a feeling a failed Serie A player might rock up to the Championship and go, whoa, hold on a minute. I haven't bought enough pairs of shin pads. I don't fancy this anymore. I want to go home.
But Norm, I suspect you're going to give us a slightly more positive slant.
I don't know whether I can come back with anything hugely positive after all that, if I'm honest. Look, I think the positive...
He's given up.
I think the positive thing is that he did sign for Inter Milan for €25 million. He is a full Italian, an Italian international. So despite all the potential negatives, as he describes himself, his main influence is Xavi. And apparently he's also drawn comparisons with Marco Verratti and Andrea Pirlo. So maybe there is a positive. But look, you're right. Look, we shouldn't judge players before they come in, but he doesn't sound like the archetypical player that would come in and hit the ground running in the Championship, because as Killer's just alluded to there, it is a hugely competitive, blood and thunder league. And in general, it tends to be the British style of player that thrives in this league over and above the more relaxed Italian, Spanish kind of player. So I think it's likely to be a signing more with next year in mind. But you would hope that we're seeing the best of him rather than what it sounds like we might be getting.
Yeah, I sincerely hope I'm wrong about this financial conundrum. And they're just, I was a big fan of us not spending any money in this window, but I hope it is that rather than we're absolutely brassic. Otherwise,
I don't think it's so much about being brassic. I just think we've still got a huge amount of players at the club that, look at how many goalies we've got. I mean, Alex Smith is retired, but, we've got so many players. I think it's almost more numbers rather over than anything. We just need to see, get the trapdoor open, don't we? And get rid of some of these players so we can almost have a fresh start.
Yeah. Keller, you were going to mention something about Alex Smithies, weren't you?
Yeah, because I just find it absolutely bizarre. So he's retired. Now, just press pause a second. So this is a guy that's never played for Leicester City. So you'd imagine Alex Smithy's week is he trains with the other goalkeepers. Okay, so they will go down, they will do their sessions, and you would imagine that's 2 to 3 times a week, goalkeeping sessions. You're going to have to do a bit of gym work. He's going to have to go on a few runs. Okay, but on Saturday afternoons, he's free. Okay, he's free to do whatever he wants. And for those hours that he spends at Seagrave, he receives £30,000 a week plus bonuses when the team wins, even though he's nothing to do with the team.
Which, by right. the way, Norm, Killer told me this earlier, that number, I find that absolutely mind-blowing for the, you know, and the problems we've got ourselves into in terms of wages for the level of player he is. 30 grand away. I mean, that must be more than virtually every player in the Championship, Killer.
Well, I don't know, because the Championship average now is about 20-odd.
Right.
So everything's going up. But,
but he never plays, though, right? So he's on, what, 50% more than the Championship average for never playing?
Yeah, sure, surely it's reserve goalkeepers, they are demanding 40, 50 grand a week.
Surely it's injury-related, though.
No, it's not. No, apparently it isn't. So this is the bizarre... This is, and even if it was, Norm, you wouldn't retire.
No.
All I'm saying is this guy has done himself out of £1 million, and in return, all he's getting back is Mondays to Fridays. That's it, where he normally goes to Seagrave and does a bit of training. The whole thing is absolute. If he's injured, he just runs his contract down, or the club say terminated his contract, brackets, paid him off. Okay, this is a guy that's turned round and wavered £1 million rather than have to turn another day at Seagrave having to throw balls at Hermanson. I mean, it's absolutely bizarre.
I agree. I'm absolutely, great for us because we get something else off the wage bill. But I mean, yeah, the mind boggles, doesn't it? Let me just ask you before we come and look ahead to Birmingham. I'm going to correct you on a stat, Norm, for once. This never happens, and I am nervous about doing it. But we are now not on track for Reading's points record. We are no longer on track to beat Reading.
So well, we can't
get back on track. But yeah, which I was a bit surprised by. But yeah, we've dropped a few points, haven't we? Anyone worried? Anyone want to put their hand up being worried about promotion? I'm not at all, Killer.
No.
Yeah, you're not, Norm?
Not really, no. I mean, I think we are too good. And I think anyone looking in would say, you're up, as do the bookies. But, you know, I suppose it's still... If we ended up losing, like, our next league game, for instance, and Ipswich and Southampton both won, if it's 4 and 5 points clear, then suddenly it starts to feel a bit more real. It isn't going to happen. So, no, we're going to walk it.
The top six are in an incredible form. Out of the last 30 games the top six have played, they've only lost 5. And actually, you know, I'm going to stick with my backing Ipswich to come up with this. I know everyone's jumping on Southampton now, understandably, with world record run. But, you know, Ipswich have had this terrible run, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're unbeaten in 5, actually. They've just got a lot of draws.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. You know, when you glance out of the table, don't forget, it wasn't that long ago that we were turning around and going, oh, wonder if Preston are going to be there for the... Well, Preston are now in the bottom half, folks. So it can all quickly go wrong. The interesting thing about Southampton, and I am a big, big, big fan of this, all runs in football generally come to an end.
Yeah.
And it generally comes to an end, even the most extreme. We've done brilliantly well around about now for Southampton. Now, I might be wrong, but let's see. Their bubble will burst at some point, and I just want to find out when it does just how much air will blow out of it.
Yeah, I hope you're right, because they've literally come. I mean, imagine if they'd started the season like this, goodness sake. Right, time's ticking away.
I'm not having this. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
He's had his calculator.
And utterly delighted to confirm that.
I did say I was nervous.
Oh, I mean, there's no.
I read this today, Norm.
There's no excuse for getting it wrong. It's amateurish, Tim. How many points did Reading get?
106.
Correct. How many games have we played?
28.
How many points have we got?
66.
66 divided by 28. I'm not going to ask
you. No, he's not going to do it.
2.357 points per game. 2.357 times 46 gives us over 108 points. Back of the net.
Maybe it's the trend. Maybe it's the trend we're on. Don't know. Read it today. I'm sure you're right, Norm. I should know.
I am right.
I should know better. Right. All right. I'm going to ask Killer about Birmingham instead now. Go on.
just by the way, I wonder whether or not, if they're working that out, that they've actually differentiated the averages. So they've actually looked at averages in terms of the trend.
I think it must be the trend.
Could be. Birmingham, look, great draw. And the FA Cup's one of these tournaments this year where if we're going to do well, as we've said before, we could do with sneaking through the back door. Birmingham at home, you've got to fancy it. And we've just got a chance then to, you know, to sneak into the fifth round. And no one's going to notice. It's one of those fixtures, isn't it, where I suspect the King Power, there'll be plenty of blue seats free on Saturday. But one of those games doesn't exactly get the mouth watering. But here is an opportunity for us to sneak into the fifth round, get ourselves a nice draw, get ourselves in the quarterfinals. Who knows?
Got to surely play a strong team, or is this Ipswich result going to have worried him even more?
No, I think he'll play a strong team, but I suppose, you know, we have got a game on the Tuesday, so with that in mind, there will be changes. But again, I'm sure Birmingham will make changes as well. So I'm not sure how well Birmingham have done since. I mean, I'm assuming Birmingham have done better since Rooney's left.
They won the last game.
Yeah.
The form's not good, though. One win in five.
No, I mean, I think it's a, you know, it's a, you don't want to play a champ, you know, you don't really want to have to play a championship team. You're better to play a Division One team, but we're at home. We are the best team in that division. So whatever team he puts out, and I hope it's a strong team, don't mind a couple of changes, but I want a, you know, a decent team out there. And I think we should have enough to get through the game, shouldn't we?
There are only a couple of places off the drop, although they've got an 8-point cushion. I suspect they will feel the need to rest players every bit as much as we do. So, yeah, fingers crossed for that. I really want us to give the cup a go this year. And like, as Killer said, it's a fantastic draw for us to get that at home. So, fingers crossed. Right, on to the predictor. Last week, you two predicted wins against Ipswich.
And you predicted 1-1.
I predicted 1-1. Yeah, rather sadly. Yeah. So, leaving Killer in trailing now in last place on 27. Oh, Norm and myself joint top on 29. So, what do you guys think for Birmingham, Killer?
I don't think it'd be a great game, but I think we'll be comfortable 2-0 winners.
Yeah, should add 90 minutes only. Norm, what about you?
My mind was also 2-0, so I am going to copy Killer. I'm also going to go 2-0.
Okay, I'm going to say 2-0 as well, just to spoil it. So it's a non-week. Right, there we go. Nothing's going to
Oh,
change.
No. No one's going to tune in.
That's the end of the predict. Can I change mine? I'm not having that. Can I change mine? I'm going to go 3-1.
All right, then.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine as well. I'm going to go 1-0.
I thought you were going to say 3-1.
Yeah, then you'd have changed your mind.
All right, 1-0, 2-0, 3-1. That'll do. Final thoughts then, guys. Norm?
I don't think I've got a final thought. I think, look, keep the faith. I've got every... Look, we're flying. It's just, there's just little things creeping in, but keep the faith, we'll be fine.
Killer?
Well, there's a couple of things I was going to mention, but essentially I'm going to come down to 2.2357142857.
Oh, you go the extra decimal point.
2857.
That all makes all the detail we see, no?
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners, just play the tape back again.
That's it, folks. We're all off to go shopping with Alex Smithies. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.